Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Lawrie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Steve Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. As regular listeners will know, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips' romantic path never runs true. Not only that, he never even runs. Walks. Usually straight down a cul-de-sac. Unfortunately, there are always new girls being drafted to the Rennery at Portsmouth, and if he dates them quick enough, they don't realize that an evening with Mr. Phillips is likely to be the non-event of their nautical careers.
No, that's unkind.
Yeah, but horribly true, sir.
Oh, granted, but it's still unkind.
You know, I wonder if you'll ever know what is this strange power that he doesn't have over women.
Of course, his age is against him.
Oh, he's not that old, sir.
I meant his mental age.
If you two have quite finished.
We have. Carry on.
Thank you. Undaunted by past failure, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips is even now trying out his newsy charms on the new Wren in the communications branch at Pompey.
That's amazing. I've never known anybody who can make it go up and down as fast as that.
Oh, this is nothing. I can make it swing round my head. Hover in midair. And even run across the floor and come back to me.
Fascinating. I didn't know anybody still had a yo-yo.
Well, actually, it's only plastic. It came as this week's amazing free gift with my copy of Cartoon Capers and Funny Frolics. It'll probably work a lot better next week.
Why?
Well, I've only got a temporary bit of cord in it. Next week they're giving away another amazing free gift. 18 inches of yo-yo string, absolutely free.
Gosh, I don't know how they do it.
I don't know either, Vera.
Actually, I'm not Vera. My real name is Veronica.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry. I left your knicker off. I didn't know you had any. I mean, at the end of your name. Oh, dear, I seem to put both my legs in it. I mean, Vera... How would you like to change the subject?
I think I'd better. Now, what is it you want, Mr. Phillips?
Can't you guess?
Well, there are no messages here for you.
I've already got the only message I want, and... Core.
Come to think of it, I have got a message for you.
Oh, good. What is it?
Why don't you go somewhere else and play with your yo-yo?
I'm not making much progress, am I?
Oh, of course you are. You can make it swing round your head, hover in midair, even run across the floor and come back to you.
That's not quite what I meant, actually. There are other things in life besides yo-yos.
Well, listening to you, I wouldn't have thought so.
I'm not saying the yo-yos aren't important. Anyway, chaps and chapesses do have to eat. So how about having dinner with me? I know this nice little restaurant down a pretty little mews in Gosport. Of course, the people who run it are foreigners, but they can't help that. Now, as long as you talk slowly and loudly, they understand. There are lighted candles on each table, and there's a gypsy chap who keeps walking about playing We'll Gather Lilacs on the violin in his pajamas. That is, he's in his pajamas, not the violin. I mean, he hasn't got the violin in his pajamas while he's walking about.
I must say, it sounds awfully romantic.
Well, not really. He's a terrible violinist. Still, he does take requests.
Oh, good. What tune did you ask for the last time you were there?
I didn't ask for a tune. I just asked him to stop playing for 5 minutes.
And did he?
Oh, he said he didn't know it. And would I like We'll Gather Lilacs instead?
It sounds like a fascinating evening. Right. What time will you pick me up at the Rennery tonight?
Oh, you'll come?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, now, I wasn't really thinking of tonight.
Oh, all right, then. Tomorrow night.
Yes, now. I wasn't really thinking of tomorrow night either.
Well, Wednesday night's out, because I'm washing my hair.
Oh, good.
Eh?
I was thinking of the 31st.
But the 31st in 10 days' time.
I know, that's when I get paid.
Well, then, the 31st it is. I'll put it in my diary.
Oh, lummy, I've just thought. The 31st's no good either. I shall be at sea. But don't you worry, Vera. I'll keep in touch somehow, and we'll meet the moment I get back. Cool.
Steady at that, sir. And I do wish Mr. Phillips would get back on the bridge, sir.
Do you? Why? I was just thinking how much more peaceful it is up here without him. None of that. About Veronica. And gosh, lummy, I've never seen such big... And I do hope she's waiting for me when we dock.
Possibly, sir. But we are just entering Portsmouth Harbour, and he is supposed to be our navigating officer.
Yeah, I like that, supposed to be. Now, don't worry, Chief. If he doesn't turn up on the bridge, I'll bring her in. Incidentally, where is he?
Oh, he's in his cabin, sir. Tarting himself up in case his new bit of... Gosh, lummy, I've never seen such a beak, and I do hope she's waiting for me when we dock. He's waiting when we dock.
Bridge?
Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading Seaman Goldstein, chatty. It's nice to know you're in. I was beginning to think you'd all popped out for Hampshire cream tea and a what?
What is it, Goldstein?
Well, in case you hadn't noticed, and I'm sure you hadn't, we're approaching Portsmouth Harbour. And I thought it was about time someone did a bit of steering.
Thank you, Goldstein. We had noticed.
Oh, good. Isn't English education a wonderful thing?
Goldstein! Now what?
In case I didn't make myself quite clear, when I said we were approaching Portsmouth Harbour, I meant it. Not the entrance. The wall.
What?
I thought that'd get you going.
Wheelhouse, quick. Starboard 10.
10 degrees starboard, wheel on, sir.
Pardon? Midships?
Wheels amidships, sir.
Pardon? No, too much. Port 20.
Port 20, sir. Steering 395 on, sir.
Pardon? Engine room, 200 revolutions, half a head starboard, full astern port.
200 revolutions, half a head starboard, full astern port, on, sir.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Chief. All that lot was the equivalent of left hand down a bit, right hand up a bit, back a bit, and, well, we've hit it.
Here, what's going on? Who altered my course? A left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit,
right, no, right hand up
no,
a bit.
Sir, right hand up a bit.
Back a bit.
Back a bit, sir.
Back a bit. Whoa! We've hit it.
Don't feel too badly about it, Mr. Murray, sir. With all that codswallop you just chatted, we hit less than we usually do.
Of course I'm worried about it, Chief, but... What I'm more concerned about is, why did Captain Pulby recall us to Portsmouth 24 hours early? Why was the signal sent in code? And what is it that's going on in Gibraltar Naval HQ that Admiralty don't want us to know about?
I'm not sure, but I'm going to switch on next week and find out.
Excuse me, Wren Jason. Yes? Well, what can I do for you? I'm Wren Penfold, and I wondered if you could tell me if that loud bang was Troutbridge coming back.
Wren Penfold?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you're the gosh lummy I've never seen such big... I mean, yes.
Oh, fine, because I've got a date with him this evening. He's taking me out.
Well, as one Wren to another, watch him.
Why?
Well, the rest of us didn't give him that nickname for nothing, you know.
What nickname?
Octopus Paws.
Well, I like him, and he's really lashing out tonight.
I bet he will be. I mean, yes, of course. It's a payday.
He's taking me to a...
No, don't tell me. Let me guess. It'll be this nice little restaurant down a pretty little mews in Gosport. There are lighted candles at each table, and there's a gypsy chap who walks about playing We'll Gather Lilacs on the Violin in his pyjamas. That is, he is in his pyjamas, but not the violin.
Well, has he taken you there?
He's taken every wren there. He's been there more times than the proprietor.
Oh, well, it's a free meal, and I'll make sure I don't have a late pass. Well, if I know lovable Leslie, he'll get an early pass. Where is Octopus Paws now?
He's in there with Captain Povey, Commander Murray, and Vice Admiral Buttonshaw, the code-breaking expert from the Ministry of Defense. Yes, Captain Povey?
Grandchasen, are you listening at the door?
I can't be, sir. I'm on the telephone listening to you.
Oh, yes, good, yeah. Well, will you bring a tin waste paper basket in here?
But you've already got a waste paper basket.
I know that, but it's not tin.
What are you going to do with it? Turn it upside down, get a couple of pencils, and do your impersonation of Buddy Rich playing Drumboogie.
No, certainly not. Vice Admiral Buttonshaw, the codebreaker, wants me to burn my blotting paper.
Well, we all have our little hobbies. But why?
I doodled on it.
Dirty boy.
And he thinks I may have given something away to the enemy.
One tin coming up, sir. The things one does for one's queen and country.
Thank you, then, Jason. Will you give it to Vice Admiral Buttonshaw?
Young lady. What's the word I want?
Thank you.
No.
That's the very thing you asked for?
No.
Thermal resistant?
No.
Throw the butting paper in it?
Got it! Can I borrow a match? I'm a non-smoker.
I'll go and get you some, sir. And the fire extinguisher.
Right, sir. And here's my blotting paper.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Povey. Oh, no, I don't need that. I've got some in my office.
Yes, sir. But you haven't made things completely clear as to what this is all about.
Oh, haven't I? Well, it's quite simple, When you've written a letter, you slap it upside down on the paper. And it blots it. Yeah, I get it from the stores. Several sheets at a time.
Thank you. I think I'll go outside and play with my yo-yo.
Can you make it crawl up the string over the top of your finger and back down again, spinning like 1300 o'clock all the time?
No, I can't. No, unfortunately. Unfortunately, there was a blot on my instructions. I tried to rub it off, and I rubbed a hole in the...
Shut up. You're potty, the lot of you.
You don't seem to realize how serious this is. With mysterious powers threatening our island home on all sides and the balloon about to go up, you are talking about yo-yo.
No. Blotting paper, Povey. No, you weren't listening. Don't make balloons out of blotting paper. And in any case, I for one don't believe these coded signals were coming from balloons. I mean, these chaps here were out there. They'd have never. What's the word I want?
Noticed them?
Notified you?
No. It says, what's the word I'm looking for? It's on the tip of my
tongue.
Got it. You'd have phoned us and told us. Let's look at this problem
Gosh, I am proud. I got it right first go.
Now, as I understand the situation, sir, mysterious radio signals have been transmitted in code every night for the past 10 days from roughly the same position where Troutbridge was stationed. And yet no other craft was visible, either to the naked eye or on the radar.
Radar?
That's the thing that looks like a television set, Mr. Phillips, but the programs are more interesting. As the Vice Admiral has told you, his department cannot break the code of these signals, which raises 3 points. One, these signals could come from an unknown foreign power. Two, they could come from outer space. And three, they could be an attempt to contact us from the supernatural.
Yeah, there is a fourth point, sir.
Oh, what's that?
When he hears about this, Chief Petty Officer Pertwee will wish to buy himself out of the service, sir, as from now.
I don't doubt it. Well, Vice Admiral, I think there's only one thing to do. Troutbridge should return to the same station she was anchored at last night and observe if anything untoward happens.
Oh, what a capital idea. Yeah, what's more, I'll go with them.
No, that won't do. Tonight, I've got a date with Gosh Lummy. I've never seen such big...
Oh, forget it.
Not it, sir. Them.
No. Put to sea at once, gentlemen. Put to sea at once.
Ah, no, that's not on.
Never mind your comfort, Mr. Phillips. Put to sea at once.
Well, it's the witching hour. This is the time for the mysterious signals when whoever it is or whatever it is starts transmitting.
Inhuman! That's what it is, sir. It's inhuman. You're not letting me buy myself out.
Very well, Chief. If that's your attitude, you have my permission to take the sea boat that's under repair, lower it into the dank, dark, murky wastes of the ocean, and row off alone into the black, misty gloom of the night. Who knows? You may be the only survivor.
Oh, well, that's extremely kind of you, sir.
Or victim.
No, thank you, sir. No, thank you. I'll stay here if you don't mind.
Good. Well, while we're waiting for a sight of whoever it is or whatever it is, how about a game to relax us while we're waiting for whoever it is or whatever it is to come from wherever it is?
Well, what had you in mind, sir? I mean, one of us goes off the bridge, and the one that's left has to guess which one of us it was. And if the one that's gone, if he has, don't come back, then the one that's left, if he is, has to guess whoever or whatever it was got him. If whoever or whatever has.
Yes. Or alternatively, we could play I Spy. I'll start. I spy with my little eye something beginning with... G.
Ah, ghost! No, go away. I make me will, so go away. No, we don't want to be made into a ghoulie. I shan't be a ghoulie, sir. The next thing that goes bump in the night is that dodgy sea boat going over the side.
Stand fast, you.
That's very kind of you, sir, but I'd rather not. Any moment now, that door is going to open, and some ghastly apparition is going to materialise in the midst of us. And I don't want to be here when it does.
Hello, you chap.
Ah, it's right.
Right you are, Chief.
What's going on? What's the Chief doing standing on my chart table?
I'm not sure. I think he's trying to hide his latitude so no one can get at his longitude.
Oh. Nasty.
Still no sign of whoever it is or whatever it is out there, I suppose, Chief?
I wouldn't know, sir. I've got my eyes shut.
Bridge?
Able Seaman Ginger here, sir. I'm deputising for Able Seaman Tiddy, sir. It's still on the WT because it's going berserk.
Oh, dear.
The wireless transmitter's red hot, sir. We've had signals coming from Portsmouth every minute on the minute.
Oh, good gracious. Well, read me the red hottest one.
Proceed to change direction 5 degrees due north for 3 miles. Mysterious signals still being received from your position. Therefore, considered inadvisable you remain on station until source located. Signed, C&C Portsmouth, message ends. And I, for one, would be grateful if you would act on these instructions immediately, sir, because I've got a nervous thumb and I don't feel very well.
What is it, Ginger?
Well, for a start, it's not Ginger. Starboard lookout here, sir, leading Seaman Goldstein chatting.
Oh, what is it, Goldstein?
Gunnels. Gunnels, sir. It was purely by accident, while I was trying to keep my mind off ghoulies and goosties, that I accidentally overheard your I Spy game. And something beginning with G is Gunnels. Am I right?
No.
We've more serious things on our minds than something beginning with G. And if you must know, it was Gyro.
But that's cheating. Gyro begins with a J.
No, it doesn't. It begins with G, not J.
Does in Welsh. Yucky da.
Now what?
And golly, good luck to you, sir.
If you'll pardon the interpretation, sir, if whatever or whoever turns up, whatever or whoever are we going to do about it?
Nothing until you come down from that chart table.
You know, all this reminds me of the late night movie I saw on television. Well, it may have been armchair theatre. I mean, I know I had to ring up to see if it was all right for me to watch it.
Why?
Well, it was after 10 o'clock, and I wasn't in the armchair, you see. I was in bed. They were jolly decent about it and said it would be all right. Anyway, this film was called The Fanged Monster, The Demons from Outer Space Werewolves. Or was it called Bittersweet? Well, never mind. It was all about two doctors, Frankenstein. Or were they... Were they Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde Park? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. There was only one of them anyway, and he was somebody else. Every time he drank his hot, fizzy lemonade, he grew a beard, long teeth, and lead boots. If this wasn't enough, I mean, he adopted this child who was 9 feet high, with a flat head and a bolt right through his neck. I kept expecting it to fall out because there wasn't a nut on the other end.
Well, there's a nut on this side, all right. We all know who he is.
Exactly. Mr. Phillips, just what has your 9-foot friend with the flat head and a bolt through his neck got to do with us?
But on the face of it, nothing at all. But think of the castle, which for our purposes we'll call a ship, entirely surrounded by a moat, which for our purposes we'll call the Atlantic Ocean, because you can't float a ship our size in a moat. On the other hand, you can't float a castle that size in the Atlantic Ocean, although somebody may have tried to, because the dungeons were terribly damp. Now then, this is the interesting part. This is the interesting part. There was a flash of lightning, which for our purposes we'll call a mysterious signal, followed by a crash of thunder, which for our purposes we'll call Able Seaman Ginger on the WT. Now, this lit up the entire room. Which for our purposes we'll call a submarine. And this monster on the 9-foot bed, which for our purposes we'll call a 6-foot hammock, slowly stood up. He slowly stood up in his lead boots, which for our purposes we'll call lead boots.
Mr. Phillips, enough is enough. What has all this old codswallop got to do with us?
But don't you see? It all makes sense.
No, not to me it don't.
Ah, but you didn't see the end of the film.
No, sir.
And neither did I. Oh. But we're all right.
Why?
Well, we must be. There's nobody aboard who's 9 feet high and a boat right through his neck.
Mr. Phillips, although you obviously know as much about films as you do about navigation, we're going to have to risk it. I must ask you, which for our purposes I shall call an order, to get this ship underway and steer 5 degrees north for 3 miles.
Aye, aye, sir. But I do hope that chap with the flat head and the bolt through his neck and the lead boots isn't waiting for us when we get there.
Good morning, Captain Purvey. And if you haven't already heard them approaching from the distance, it's going to be one of those days.
Heard who approaching?
The Admiral and Rear Admiral Ironbridge.
Oh, do get out of my way, Ironbridge. We can't both get through the door together. Stand aside, you're in the way.
Yes, yes, always in the way. Story of my life, in the way, yes, yes, in the way. Always am, yes, yes. Who is?
You are, you daft old fool.
Morning, Povey. Bad news as usual. Someone's made a monumental boob.
Yes, yes, boobs. Yes. Monumental ones. Boobs. Yes, yes. How do you do?
Oh, do leave off, Ironbridge. Some damn fool must wind him up every morning. Wish his blasted spring would break.
Spring? Yes, yes. Young man's fancy turns to...
Oh, shut up. Right, Povey. What are we going to do about it?
Well, I thought we could... do about what...
Good man. Knew you'd have it at your fingertips. Trust you to find out what's at the bottom of it.
Bottoms!
Oh, give him a cup of coffee somewhere and damp him down. Hold up, Povey. What's your plan?
Plan? I don't even know what we're talking about.
But haven't you heard?
You moved Trout Bridge 3 miles, and now the signals are coming from there. Whoever it is, or whatever it is, must have followed them.
Yes, yes, follow them. Yes, yes, always do, yes, wherever they are. Yes, yes, can't get enough of them.
No. One track line, that's his trouble. Right, Poby, only one thing to do, recall Troutbridge. Can't have the ship in jeopardy, I signed for it.
Yes, sir. Very well, Admiral, I'll instruct Troutbridge to return to Portsmouth at once.
Port, yes, yes, mouth, yes, yes. Get a couple of ports down them, yes, and they're anybody's, yes, yes.
Shut up, Iron Bridge, and stir your coffee.
Stir it, yes, yes, 2 lumps, yes.
Oh, hit him, somebody.
Excuse me, Captain Povey. Here are some of the mysterious signals you asked for.
Yeah, thank you, Wren Penfold. Now, gentlemen, what we can't understand is why these mysterious signals are being beamed directly to our communication center.
Well, sir, as I see it, it's one of two things. It's either that there's a spy from a foreign power in Portsmouth, or, I think this is more likely, there's a chap trying to contact us from outer space. With a flat head, a bolt through his neck, and lead boots.
Flat head, bolt, lead boots? What's he on about now?
Not to worry, sir. He wasn't in his armchair, but they gave him permission.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Captain Povey, we very much appreciate you bringing us back from the scene of danger, but now we're here, do you think we could see one of the signals from whoever it, or whatever it was out there?
Well, here's a typical one. It just reads, E O O Darty. Obviously a code name. Don't you agree, Admiral Buttonshaw?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Which my darned, what's the word I want?
Department? Division?
No, it's got it, office. Can't break the code.
May I have a look?
Here you are, Mr. Phillips.
Oh, I see. You're not reading it properly. I mean, it reads dot, dot, dash, 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 dot, dash. Then it's dash, dot, 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 dash, dash, dot. It's not E-O, Darty at all. It's dot, dot, dash, 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 dot, dot, dash. Then it goes dash, dot, 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 dash, dash, dot.
Mr. Phillips, I think you'd better sit down.
No, it makes sense. It's not E-O, Darty. It's I-O-U, a date.
Well, how do you know?
Because I sent the signal to you. I sent you one every night. Look, they're all here.
Commander Murray, you realize I shall make a full report about this to the CNC?
Yes, sir, and I think I want to die.
Don't worry, sir. I think Mr. Phillips just has.
No, it's perfectly all right because I've been paid. I kept in touch like I said I would, and I can take Verekins out tonight, can't I?
No.
Why not?
If you look at the rotor, you will find that you are duty officer and therefore confined to the ship.
Right, Wren Penfold, as your previously aforesaid personage of our rank, what was got to nosh you up is at it? May one invite you to this nice little restaurant of a pretty little news and gospel, where there are lady candles and a gypsy chap who keeps walking about and playing with the lyrics and the violin in his pyjamas? That is, in his pyjamas, not the violin.
Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips have been da-da, dot-dotting their way through the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the Chief Petty Officer, Leslie Phillips was the Sub-Lieutenant, Captain Purvey was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chasen, leading seaman Goldstein was Tanya Evans, Vice Admiral Armbridge was Michael Bates, and Wren Vera Penfold was Norma Ronald. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.